highlighting various arms of our ministry here at Living Waters, and today we're looking at our inReach, how we take care of ourselves and fellowship together. So Emily Zempel, who has been chairing our inReach team, is going to start us out.
Good morning. I forget that humans respond back here. I'm used to teaching at the hospital where people just sit there in silence. So like Todd said, I've been working with the inReach group, and the focus really is welcoming people and caring for people that come to Living Waters. And I've learned in this last year how big that group is and how many different hands are involved. There's tons of things like the Care Corps and Shepherding Ministries, Teddy Bear Ministry, the Parish Nurse, which, by the way, it's Blood Pressure Check Sunday if you want that between services. Hospitality, just all sorts of things. And it's been really cool to see all the different hands that get involved with serving our mission. We have a couple people here today, Rachel and Dan, you guys can swing on up, that wanted to share their story about how Living Waters has impacted them and how they've seen it impact others as well.
Okay, I quickly realized I'm gonna talk about Christmas Eve in a barn, and summing that up in a minute is not possible. It took me a couple of hours just to come up with 3 minutes of content because I had to pare it down. So I'm gonna tell you about Christmas Eve in a barn and the Living Nativity. A long time ago, shortly before the Christmas season, in a conversation among Living Waters members, a statement was made that went a little bit like this. Well, we don't have our own church building to have Christmas services in. What should we do? Well, Phil Pedersen suggested that maybe we should have the Christmas service in a barn, on the farm, on Christmas Eve. To which the reply was, really? In a barn? With manure? It would be a humble and authentic place to celebrate celebrate the birth of Christ, at least until we have a church building to hold the service. That year, 147 people attended the service, surrounded by llamas, donkeys, sheep, and cows, happily shivering on hay bales in the manure, singing Christmas hymns a cappella, watching volunteers in newly handmade costumes reenact the nativity. The first 147 people celebrated the birth of Christ in a way few others would or could. One service with 147 of our own congregation members soon turned into four services with an average of 1,000 people every year. From a variety of faith expressions, a Living Nativity at Coburn's was born, and a float in the Sauk Rapids Parade of Lights, and least we forget, Casper the Camel. All this for another 24 years. Each year, we do unscientific polls at the beginning of the service, and we ask how many people have attended before, and roughly about a third of the people raise their hand that they've been to a service before. That leaves two-thirds of the people at that service who have never attended the Christmas Eve in a Barn service before. That's roughly 650 people that are attending for the first time. That's a big outreach for inReach. And that doesn't even count all the people that we experience at the Living Nativity down at Coburn's who come in from the public. Now, it's no small task to pull off the Nativity and the Christmas Eve in a barn. Preparation begins in the summertime, and it takes about 50 volunteers to make the Christmas Eve in a barn the success that it is today. A few examples of the things that would need to be done in order to get us to the point where we're having the service is we need to bale and store those hay bales that we sit on. We need to make repairs to the Living Nativity manger and to the fencing. There's the setup and takedown of the Nativity at Coburn's. There's setup and takedown and cleaning of the barn. There's cleaning and repairing and storing the costumes. There's parking attendance. There's decorating the float for the parade. And there's finding volunteers, and did I mention finding volunteers? Because we really need a volunteer to find volunteers. Now, I'm blessed to have grown up with Christmas Eve in a barn. Having services on our family farm and taking part in the Living Nativity have let me experience it maybe in unique ways. I can give you some examples of the things that I've seen over the years. When we do the Living Nativity down at Coburn's, I've seen many times, because I'm there the whole time watching, and I see parents with their children standing in front of the Nativity as it's going on, and I love listening to them explain to their children, step by step, what's happening. Right there in living color, they explain what's happening. I think that is wonderful. At Christmas Eve in the barn, about 5 years ago, I walked, after the last service, everybody had filed out, I walked back in, and there was a couple getting engaged at the service. They had photographers, they were on their knee, and it was really cool. And I asked them after they were done, I said, why here? And they said they had attended for years, and they could think of no more unique and no better place to get engaged. Then there's also Casper the Camel stories. I can't forget Casper. Casper would be stationed right outside the door, the entrance door, and he used to steal people's hats as they would walk in. He'd pick them up and take them from people. And he would always contribute to the sermons by making his loud gurgling noises while we were doing the sermons. And the other thing I liked about Casper was that when we described or give directions to our farm, we could always say, you know, the place with the camel. And they'd say, oh, yeah. And it was amazing how many people knew how to get there just based on Casper alone. And I never tire of the endless gratitude that people give for attending the service. It's amazing that when it's 10 degrees outside and you're freezing, how much people enjoy the service, even though they're frozen. It's amazing. So it takes many great people to make Christmas Eve in a barn work, and I invite you to join us at the services if you haven't been. And I invite you to join us in making it work, making it the success that it is today. It's an amazing service with an amazing message. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Rick Wilkin. This is my lovely wife, Rachel, and our beautiful daughter, Joni.
We were asked to share our story of our NICU stay and how Living Waters helped us. A little background, Rick grew up in Sauk Rapids, was a member of Sacred Heart for many years, and I grew up in Morris, and I was a member of First Lutheran Church, where Pastor Todd was. I was involved in New Wine. Pastor Todd actually married us in September of 2017. Shortly after we joined Living Waters, we really liked how welcoming and how friendly everyone was. We knew we had wanted to start a family right away, so when we found out we were pregnant in December of 2017, we were ecstatic. The next several months were filled with prenatal appointments, excitement about being parents, thinking about names and how our lives would be forever so different. At one of our doctor's visits, we were informed that there was a chance of the baby coming early. We didn't really understand what that all meant, but we continued with our excitement, even moved into a new house that April. On May 14th, something didn't feel right. I came home from work, put my feet up, and relaxed. Rick was pretty insistent on going to Menards to go get a new weed whip. Walking around Menards, I knew something still didn't feel right. We came home and I couldn't sleep at all that night. I finally woke Rick up at 4 a.m. on May 15th and said, we have to go to the hospital. We got checked in. I remember checking in and telling the emergency room staff that I was pregnant, only 28 weeks and 3 days pregnant, but I thought I was going into labor. The worried look they gave me, I will never forget. Labor was starting. It was so surreal. I kept thinking, baby wasn't supposed to come until August. They couldn't stop labor. She was coming. Joni made her arrival May 15th at 7:07 p.m. She was only 2 pounds, 2 ounces. Tears were flowing down our faces with happiness. She was alive and breathing on her own. We named her after Rick's late mother, Joan. We knew we wouldn't be taking her home anytime soon. They brought her down the hallway to the NICU, the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit. The next several days were filled with uncertainty of what was next. Joni had her own room about the size of a medium-sized bedroom. That room would be filled with many ups and many downs for the next several months. Every day I would go to the doctor's rounds to hear about her progress, what she needed to work on, and where we were at. The first several weeks, the nurse would say how many times the day before that she had stopped breathing. My heart would break. She was connected to so many IVs and monitors. I've never seen anything so little being monitored so closely. She was tiny, so helpless. It was so sad, and I had so much guilt. Things felt uncertain. At one of the doctor's rounds, I couldn't help but cry and asked, "What can I do?" They said, "Be there, read to her, hold her." So I was there every day for almost 8 to 10 hours every day. Prayers were a huge part. We knew God was always listening. She got bigger, she got stronger. Slowly, monitors and IVs were taken away. We would celebrate the smallest milestones, giving her her first bath, the first time she wore clothes, and the first time she got to take a bottle. Pastors Denise and Todd came several times to get an update and to pray with us. Stephanie and Terry even got to visit. We appreciate all the love and support we got from Living Waters. Having to unexpectedly take off 4.5 months, it was nice to get help so that we could focus on Joni. We had no idea our lives would be like this. We're so thankful for all the prayers. We got to take her home August 9th after 86 days. She has been such a joy, and we are truly blessed with this little miracle baby. Do you want to say something?
We just wanted to thank you for your love, support, and prayers throughout this time. It really helped us get through the tough days, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Rachel, Rick, and Joni, and Dan, and Emily. We really appreciate it. Good to hear those stories. We're going to jump.